Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
But we're going to start in Luke 7, verse 1. Now, in our deeper services, if you're new to Riverside Church, we go deeper into what was spoke upon on Sunday. Come on, wasn't that an awesome message this past Sunday from Pastor Caleb on the authority of God? And so we're going to go deeper into it. And some of it might sound repetitive, but who knows? We really don't learn through revelation, but we really learn through repetition, right? I've had some really good revelation, but if I don't begin to sit on that for a while and repeat it to myself, that's when it really sinks in. And so when we go through this, it might sound repetitive, but who knows? That's how we learn. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 1. It says this. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. Now, Jesus has just finished teaching the Beatitudes to his followers, and he shows up into his home, his adult home. A little context about the city of Capernaum. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He spent his childhood in Nazareth, but he spent his adult years in Capernaum. And so he returns home where he was before his ministry began, before the age of 30, and that's where he is in Capernaum. It says, at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and to heal his slave. They earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. They said, if anyone deserves your help, he does. For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So this is a Roman officer. Other translations say a Roman centurion. He is not a Jew, but he holds the God of the Jews in high respect, and he respects the Jewish faith. It says, so Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent friends to say, Lord, do not trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy. Everybody say worthy. So I'm not worthy of such of an honor. Right away, you can see this heart of this officer and the centurion. He understands who's he talking to, right? He understands who Jesus is. He says, I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. He said, I know this because I am under authority. Everybody say authority. I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority. Come on, one more time. Everybody say authority. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Sounds a lot like my parents, right? Who knows? Who grew up in that kind of home, right? That's the right kind of home, amen? It says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Everyone say amazed. He was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely. Everybody say completely. Completely healed. Here's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about accessing authority. Accessing authority. Let's pray together. Father, welcome in your Holy Spirit into this place, God. Communicate what you want to communicate. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that it is, God, to follow after you tonight. God, to be led by your Holy Spirit. God, right now we let down all of our walls. We let down any distractions, God, anything that might be pulling us away from this moment. But God, we go all in right now. Because, God, we have the faith to believe that when we set our expectation on you, God, when we set our eyes upon you, that you are faithful and that, God, you will bring to us, God, a revelation, God, instructions, God, tonight. So, God, have your way in this place. Let your spirit, God, just take over this service, God, and that we're going to leave this place different as we came. More, God, filled with your spirit as we came, God, transformed from the inside out. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen, amen. Well, give Jesus a hand clap of praise tonight, and y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Thank y'all for standing in honor of reading the word. Not too long ago, I was talking to my dad about a story. A few years ago, we went to a golf tournament. I believe it was in Houston. We went to a golf tournament in Houston. And really what that is and what I believe is that the golf, when you go to a golf tournament, it's because you're so bad at golf. You want to see how good golf looks like, right? At least that's how I felt. And so we went to a golf tournament, and all the pro golfers were there, and it was fun, you know, walking around and watching them and watching this tournament. And because of the connection through a family friend, we had access. We were giving these wristbands. We were giving these wristbands, and these wristbands gave us the access to this exclusive seating area that had, it was like a balcony, and it had better seats than anywhere else. And so, wow, this is pretty cool, because if you've ever been to a golf tournament, you usually have to walk around. Sometimes you have to bring your own chair because it's like a huge, you know, it's, 18 holes. There's a lot of space. So there's not a lot of inmate seating for you. And so we had this access to this balcony, and we had good spots for this tournament. We were having a lot of fun. And the only problem was is that, first of all, if you've been to a golf tournament, it's like an all-day event, right? If your husband says he's going to a golf tournament, no, you're not seeing him until 12 hours later, okay? Because it's an all-day event. So we were getting hungry, and there was a snack bar nearby, or I wouldn't say snack bar, it was like a restaurant bar. Like, it had all this fancy food. I was like, that is outside my price range, right? I said, I'm just here, like, you know, and so I was like, Dad, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to get, you know, find a cheap hot dog somewhere and bring it back up. And so when I got a hot dog, you know, early on, I was eating it. And then a couple hours later, I was getting hungry again. And this is getting near the end of the tournament. We've been there for hours. And I was getting hungry again. I was like, man, I don't want to walk all the way back to that hot dog stand. And the hot dog wasn't even that good. I said, you know what? I'm not going to tell Haley. I'm just going to go buy this expensive food, right? And so I go up to the snack bar, and they have like brisket. They have this like really fancy nachos. They have like all this really like not your snack bar food, right? And so I went up, and as I was looking, I realized there's no prices. I was like, wow, man, so pricey, man. They must be really expensive. You ever been to this restaurant where there's no prices? I'm like, man, this is gonna be bad. So I pick out what I want, and I get to the front, and I said, and you know, I got my order. I said, how much is this order? And they said, oh, do you have a wristband? I said, yeah, I have a wristband right here. He said, oh, well, all this food is free for you. And I said, oh, my gosh, give me it all, right? Loaded up all the free food. You know, if there's anything that activates our faith, it's free food, right? And so I loaded up all we had, but it had me thinking, you know, this whole time we had access to that food, this wristband gave us the authority to have access to that food. But even though we had access to it, we weren't taking advantage of it. Makes me think how many Christians live this life having access to the authority of God, having access to a power way beyond theirs, way beyond what the world could ever offer, way beyond even what we can imagine. But yet we do not take advantage of the authority that we have through Christ Jesus. Let us not live a life getting to heaven and realizing we could have free food this entire time, right? Let us not live a life at the end of, you know, get to heaven and realize that we didn't have to struggle the way we did because we have access to authority that's above all else. Amen? And that's really what authority is about. Authority is about giving us access. If you ever try to enter an event without the ticket, right, they wouldn't give you access because you didn't have authority to be there. You know, if you ever seen somebody at a sporting event and they don't have access to the field, but they jump on the field and run around, well, since they don't have authority to be there, they usually get, first of all, they go viral somehow, right? They get tackled or whatever, and then they get arrested, right? Because they didn't have the authority. Everybody say authority. They didn't have the authority to be there. So what authority does is gives us access to something that is otherwise unattainable on our own. Because otherwise, what's the point of authority if you already have access to it? So when us as sons and daughters of God, what the authority of God does is gives us access to what is otherwise unattainable. Without God, there is no way we would be able to walk in our power and our might and access than otherwise with God's authority. But that's what gives us access, but it's up to us to exercise. Everybody say exercise. It's up to us to exercise that access. Because it's one thing to have access, but it's a whole other thing to exercise that access, right? It's one thing to have access to the gym, right? It's a whole other thing to exercise in the gym, right? We have access to the power of God, but the question tonight is, are we exercising the access to the power of God? Because we have so much that we have access to, and what we're going to dive into is how can we then exercise that access? Because if a simple wristband can give us such awesome access as free food and good seats, how much more does the authority of God give us access to the good things of this world? The authority of God is what we want to have access to and exercise and take advantage of that authority that we have in God. And this is what the Roman centurion understood. He understood how authority works. You see, it actually says this in verse 7, as we go back and read it again. In verse 7, he understands, first of all, who Jesus is. He says, I'm not even worthy enough to let you enter into my home. He understands that. But he says this. He says, because in verse 8, he said, I know this. He says, if you just tell my servant to be healed, I know he will be healed because I know this because I too, he said, I am under, everybody say under, I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have, everybody say have authority over my soldiers. What the centurion understood is that for you, and we covered this on Sunday, but for you to have authority, you have to be under authority. He said, I have authority not because I am over authority, but because I am under authority. He says, I know if I say go, my soldiers will listen because they are under my authority. So he understood, the centurion understood how authority works. And here's why the faith that he had, this is why it amazed Jesus, because he then applied what he understood to the kingdom of heaven. He understood how it worked in the Roman government. He understood how it worked that in the Roman army that you listened to who you fell under authority to, and he applied that to the kingdom of heaven because he understood how it worked. See, a centurion, who other translations say that, who's also officer, in the Roman ranks, that was somebody who was over between 80 to 100 soldiers around there. And a centurion was over that many soldiers, and then those were called centuries, and then a number of centuries, sometimes 30, 40 centuries, all combined together makes up a legion. And then a legion had a general. So a centurion was under that general, and then those generals reported directly to Caesar. So this is what the centurion understood. He understood that because he fell under the right authority, when he spoke something, the people around him took it like it was Caesar himself speaking it. Because he understood that I am under that authority, so when I speak, I carry the words of those I fall under. This is why it's so important for us to fall under the authority of God. Because if we submit ourselves to any other authority, what we're saying is that when I speak, what we're saying is now we are submitting ourselves to something else. And if it's not God, let me tell you this, it's not going to get you far. If you walk in your own authority, you're not going to get that far. And so the centurion, he understood that the power of your authority is only as strong as who you fall under. So if you are refusing, and especially men, sometimes we have a hard time submitting, right? If you do not submit to the authority of God, then your strength of your authority will only go as far as yourself. And let me tell you, on your own, you're not that strong. I hate to break it to you. On your own, you are not that strong. But now that we have really the option now to submit to a higher authority. But this is what the centurion, and this is where I really believe it amazed Jesus, is that he understands authority, right? The centurion, he understands authority. He looks at his slave who is sick, but he didn't call on Caesar for him to be healed. He didn't say, okay, my slave is sick, and so then Caesar, he must have the authority to heal. But that's the thing. Caesar doesn't have the authority to heal the lame. And so he sees that his slave is sick and that there is no way, and that not even Caesar has that type of authority and power. So he says, I need to seek somebody. I need to find somebody. I need to find the person who has the authority. And he hears about Jesus going into Capernaum. He hears about Jesus, and Jesus, scripture says, walked in and talked in authority. That he had the authority to open blind eyes. He had the authority to heal the sick. He even had the authority to raise the dead back to life. Who knows? That's a powerful authority to have. And so what the Roman centurion understood, he said, this man has the authority, so I need to submit to his authority if I'm going to see my slave be healed. And that's what Matthew 28:18 says about Jesus. It says this is Jesus speaking, and he said he spoke to them saying, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, everybody say all. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What Jesus is saying is that not just some authority, but he has all authority. That means that Caesar's authority was limited. Our authority is limited, but the authority of God is supreme. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over depression. Jesus has the authority over any type of issue we may have. He has authority over any lie from the enemy. Jesus has all the authority. And this is what the centurion came to understand. He said, I am submitted to Caesar, but there's a higher authority. Caesar's not capable of healing my slave. Not capable of healing my servants. But there is one who has all, everybody say all, who has all the authority. And this is really the first thought for tonight is this, is that Jesus is the author. Everybody say author. Jesus is the author of authority. And what author means is this, is the one who originates and the one who created. So Jesus is the one who created authority, and all authority originates from. Meaning there is no higher authority than the name of Jesus. This should get you excited. Because that centurion could have said to that sickness and said, in the name of Caesar, be healed, and he wouldn't be healed. He could have came up and he said, in our name, be healed, and wouldn't be healed. But when you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, there's authority in that name, because all else they submit to that authority, because he is the author of authority. There is nobody higher than our God. There's no power higher than our God. There's no authority. There's no government. There's not amount of money. There's not amount of any fame, what you might think. There is nothing greater than our God. And when we submit to his authority, here's the awesome thing. Is when we submit to his authority, now we have access to that authority. When we submit to that authority, now we have access to authority that all other things cannot overcome. And that's how we walk in a life that when Jesus walked, they were amazed by the authority that he had. Because Jesus walked knowing that nothing stood a chance against him. Because authority, because power, it originated from him. And that's the type, who knows, that's the type of authority that I want to submit to. I don't want to submit to authority that can't even get me into, you know, some simple building, right? I don't want some small authority. I want authority that every knee must bow and tongue must confess that he is God. That is the type of authority that we must submit to. But when you need help, you have to go to the person who has the authority, right? Whenever you're trying to get a return, you bought something from Target, right? And it's broken. You don't say, let me talk to the cashier, right? Say, let me talk to a manager, right? I need to talk to somebody in authority. I need to talk to somebody who has the power. I need to talk to somebody who has the ability to change my situation. And what is our issue at times is that we, when we encounter problems, we look to different powers first before the power of God. When we encounter something in our life, we look to the power of money to fix it. When we encounter something in our lives, we look to the power of people to fix it. We turn to a power that we say, well, I'm in a place and I don't know what to do, but maybe I can lean into this amount of dollars or this person. And we try to look to the power of the world, and we're not accessing the authority of God. Because here's the thing. You could have access, but if you're not exercising it, you still won't be able to walk in what you're supposed to walk. As sons and daughters of God, we have access to that authority, but if we only look to the things of the world to fix our issues, we're going to be stuck with those issues, right? We're going to be in a cycle of those issues, but we have to know and understand that when we need a breakthrough, we can't look to the authority of money to break us out. When we need a breakthrough, we can't look to the authority of politics to break us out. I hate to say it, but both sides of the party doesn't have the authority to fix our problems, right? Those things don't have the power, but God has the power. And the lie of the enemy is for us to look in every other direction. See, what my and dad's issue was is that we were hungry and there was an awesome buffet right next to us. We had access to it, but we were unaware. We didn't have the awareness of what our access, what the advantage was. When we are living this life, and literally everything that we encounter, we have access to an authority that has the solution. We have access to a God that it doesn't matter what comes against us, but scripture says, he that is inside us is greater than he that is in the world. Meaning this, do not look to the world to solve problems coming from the world. Do not look to things that are not of God to solve problems that are coming from the enemy. No, the only way to combat against the power of this world is to submit to a higher power of God that has the authority over it all. Amen? That's the type of authority we have to break into. But in the same way, the centurion was under authority, but also in authority. In that same way, we are under authority, but also in authority. We're going to look at a scripture that we covered on Sunday, but we're going to go look at it a little deeper. But we're going to go into Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I'm not going to explain too much. And this is why I like having deeper services, because if you didn't watch Sunday, you can go back and watch Sunday, and you can understand Wednesday better, right? There you go. It's like a little homework. You didn't even know it. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Quick context, because we covered it on Sunday, but this is Jesus sending out the 70 disciples to spread the good news, and this is what passage of scripture where he said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So he sends out the 70, and then the 70 return. And it says this, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. Everybody say, Jesus. Because sometimes we can be confused and say our name. No, in your name, Jesus. He said, and then Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, but behold, I give you authority. Everybody say authority. To trample, everybody say trample, on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, give Jesus a shout of praise for that. What Jesus was explaining to the 70 is that we have authority to trample over the enemy. But for some reason, sometimes we get caught up and we tiptoe around the enemy. And we try to say, hey, if I'm going to try to act like I don't see him, and maybe the enemy will act like he doesn't see me, and we try to tiptoe around the enemy when we're called to trample over the enemy. But you can only do that when you have access to the right authority. Because let me tell you this, you do not want to walk in the wrong authority and then try to exercise the authority that comes from God when you don't have it. Man, that's a scary place to be. But when you have access and alignment with God and you walk in his authority, he said that we no longer have to tiptoe around the enemy, but now we can trample over the enemy. That means every sickness, every disease, any demonic force, we don't have to be afraid no longer. See, back in that time, this is the context you got to understand. Back in that time, in a time when Jesus was on earth, there was really, when a spirit came against you, you really had no chance against him. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they would try to cast these demons out, but there really wasn't a power until Jesus stepped up on this earth. There really wasn't a power to cast out demons. So you got to understand, whenever they would see somebody possessed by a demon or see a demon and begin to see it come against them, they knew they had no chance against it. But Jesus said, in my name, you now have the authority. But Jesus said, now in my name, what was used to be unattainable, what used to be something you were afraid of, now you can trample over. And that's really what should be the change in our minds when we begin to think about our life with Jesus. Because we shouldn't have this life with Jesus, but walk in the old authority that we had. And say, well, I got Jesus with me, but I'm still afraid of this, and I'm still scared of that. I don't know if I can really overcome this addiction. I don't know if I can really overcome this insecurity. I don't know if I can overcome this generational curse. My grandfather's grandfather's grandfather dealt with it. So who am I to know that I'm? No, when we have the name of Jesus, now all things submit to our authority. And now we can trample over the enemy. But here's what I want us to catch on. Then he looks at the 70 and he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, when you have the right authority, nothing can touch you. And it made me think of when Paul was being arrested in Acts 22, when he was being arrested by the Romans, and Scripture says that when the Jewish leaders, they falsely accused him, and the Roman officers, they took him, and they were about to beat him and throw him in prison. And then what did Paul say? He said, hold up. And I think it's funny because he said this at the last second. I would have said this right away. But he said, hold up, I'm a Roman citizen. And Scripture says the Roman officers were astonished. Because what that meant when he said, I'm a Roman citizen, he said, I fall under the authority of Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, I cannot be beat or jailed without a trial. And for you to do that is for you to break the law. And that's not really you messing with me. This is what Paul was saying. That's not you really having a problem with me. Now you have to have a problem with Caesar, because that's the rule he made. And so when he said, I am a Roman citizen, now all of a sudden, those Roman officers could not hurt him. They didn't have the authority no longer. Now that they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen, they no longer had the authority. Now he was outside their jurisdiction to then begin to hurt him, beat him, and throw him in jail because he was a Roman citizen. On the flip side, us now as citizens of the kingdom of God, This is why Jesus could tell them, by any means, nothing can hurt you. Because now, as a citizen of the kingdom, we are now outside of the enemy's jurisdiction. You should get excited about this. Now, as a citizen of heaven, the enemy no longer has the authority to overcome you. Now, as a citizen of heaven, the enemy is no longer, we are no longer in the enemy's jurisdiction. Before Jesus, it was free game, right? After Jesus, there's nothing he can do to touch us. Before Jesus, scripture says, right, that the enemy, right, he's the God of this world, that we were submitted, we were under that authority. But the whole reason why Jesus came, he came to take that authority back. And then he said this to the 70, and by no means can they hurt you. Why? Because now, guess what? We now live in a different type of authority, and we're outside of the enemy's jurisdiction. That's why you can war in the spirit. That's why you can pray, and that's why you can cast out devils and have no fear that it can touch you. Because with Jesus on the inside of you, the same way Paul said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't throw me in jail because I got rights as a citizen. Guess what? Now us as sons and daughters of God, we got rights as a kingdom citizen. And one of those rights is, guess what? If you mess with me, you're messing with him. That's really what Paul was saying. If you mess with me as a Roman citizen, because I am covered by the authority of Rome, you're messing with Caesar. And it says the Roman, when it says in scripture, you can read it, Acts 22, it says the Roman officers were afraid because they said, if somebody finds out, we might be thrown in jail. And they were afraid. But that's the type of authority that we have. Is that when we submit to God's authority, to Jesus, when we submit to him, when the enemy messes with us, he's really messing with him. And the enemy has no power over Jesus. And when we submit to him, that's when God supplies our authority. And so last point for tonight is this, is that Jesus supplies, everybody say supplies. Jesus supplies us authority when we submit. Everybody say submit. When we submit to his. And that's the big thing. Jesus can only supply when we are willing to submit. Jesus can only supply when we are willing to submit. What happens is this, is that we walk around expecting the authority of God, but we don't want to submit to God. We walk around expecting the power of God, but we don't want to submit to his calling on our life. We say this, right? We say, Jesus, I want your power, but I don't want your principles. I want the power from you, but I don't want to submit to your values, to the principles. I don't want to submit to you. Jesus, I want your authority, God. I want your strength, but I don't want to submit to your standards. And we convince ourselves that we can live a life like that, not submitting to God, but still thinking that we can walk in authority, but it doesn't work like that. Imagine if this Roman centurion, imagine if he started a rebellion against Rome, would not submit to Rome, but then was like, hey, but we're still good, right? Like, I can still, like, walk around and I still have authority from Rome, right? Like, no, you don't get authority until you first submit to authority. Jesus does not supply until you first submit. It doesn't happen before, it happens after. Is that when we submit to God, that's when God supplies his authority. And that's what we have to do, is we have to say, God, what are the areas in my life? What am I doing where I'm not submitting to you? Because there are times we can walk in authority in some avenues of our life, but in other avenues of life, it's like, man, I can live a life where I'm free of this, I'm free of that, but for some reason, I'm struggling with this addiction. God, I'm living a life where I'm able to walk in this right and this correctly, but why am I struggling with that? We're struggling with that strength. God hasn't been able to supply that authority because we haven't submitted yet. And I pray like, God, what are areas in my life I haven't fully submitted to you? What are areas of my life saying, God, why am I struggling in this area of my life? Maybe it's because we haven't fully submitted that area to God. And here's the thing we don't want to think about, right? If it's not submitted to God, then it's not under his authority. And if it's not under his authority, whose authority is it under? And that's a scary thing. And we wonder why we struggle in that area. It's because we got to submit. And that's hard for us. I know it's hard for me. I was the one growing up, I never liked submitting. Ask my parents, my teachers, right, in school. But I had to learn when it comes to God, I had to learn how to submit. I had to learn how to surrender everything to God. Because if I truly wanted to walk in everything God has called me to walk, I got to submit in every way God had called me to submit. And God will supply that authority. And here's the awesome thing about authority is that now all of a sudden when you walk in authority, who knows this? And you know Jesus did this, and if you're walking in authority, you will do this. When you walk into authority, you change the atmosphere. When you walk into a room, you change that room. When you walk into a conversation, you change that conversation. When you have authority, you walk in, now you have influence. Now you have the authority to change things. Now you're no longer the influencee, but you're the influencer. And that's what God's called us to be. Us as the sons and daughters of God, when we have authority, guess what? We have the right to walk in and take our territory and change the atmosphere. That means if you walk in your home and you just feel like there's something heavy, guess what? It's time to change the atmosphere. Because now you have the authority to change the atmosphere. And now no longer do you have to adhere to your atmosphere, but now your atmosphere has to adhere to you. That's what authority does for us. To be the influencer and not the influencee. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be an influencer. Not on social media, but for the kingdom of God, right? Worship team, you can join me. I want to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're almost done tonight. Luke chapter 10. This is what really caught me reading. Again, right, it's not, you know, I've read this scripture so many times, but it's not through one revelation and some repetition that takes place until you're really like, wow. But when I was reading this earlier today, this jumped out at me like it's never had before. And it said in verse 20, now this is Jesus talking. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. And he's talking to the 70. The 70 came back and said, Lord, even demons and spirits submit to your name. But he said in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Say, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It says, don't celebrate because spirits know your name. Celebrate because Jesus knows your name. And the reason why that the enemy knows your name is because your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Think about the sons of Sceva, right? They came up to this person who was overcome by a demon. They tried to cast them out, and they said, by the God that Paul serves, come out. That demon looked at him in the eyes and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Lord Jesus. And scripture actually says that they left that house. There were seven of them. They left that house naked and bruised. I'm telling you, if you don't live a life with God, you're going to get your butt kicked, right? Their name wasn't written in the Lamb Book of Life. They didn't have that type of authority. But it says this in verse 21. And it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Everybody say rejoiced. It says, Jesus rejoiced. He rejoiced in the spirit and said, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but revealed them to babes. Scripture says babes. It means little ones. He says, you revealed them to babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. See, context of this is that just before he sent out the 70, he sent out the 12. We talked about this on Sunday. And when he sent out the 12, you know, they were called he referred them as sheep among wolves. And the 12 disciples had spent most of their time around Jesus. They were experienced with Jesus. But when he sent out the 70, he called them lambs, meaning they were still young and inexperienced. They haven't known much. But when he saw those that many of us would consider to be the unlikely choice, maybe we say even baby Christians, when Jesus saw that they came back and they had authority in his name, even though they weren't the 12 disciples, even though that they weren't the most experienced, and maybe you're saying, Pastor CJ, I don't read a lot of Bible. I haven't been a Christian for a long time. I haven't read all the books and listened to all the podcasts. Well, neither has these 70. They're baby Christians, inexperienced, those who would say unlikely to do such a thing. But they're the ones who walked in authority. And scripture says that Jesus rejoiced. And what jumped out to me is this, is that is the only time ever in scripture that it specifically says that Jesus rejoiced. I was like, what? I would have rejoiced when I was walking on water, right? If I was Jesus. Man, I would have rejoiced when I saw Lazarus come out of the grave. I would have rejoiced when I fed the 5,000, but Jesus, you know, he made it rejoice then, but scripture doesn't say it. Scripture only says that Jesus rejoiced when he saw little ones walk in authority. And that's when he rejoiced. Because something that we can get caught up with religion is we can say that my authority, my spiritual authority is based on my spiritual maturity. And we can say the only way I have more authority is that I got to do more. And one time a Christian for 2 years, then God gives me more authority. And then once I'm a Christian for two more years, then God gives me more authority. And after I read that book that everybody says to read, man, I get a lot more authority. But here's what the good news is. It's that the power and authority of Jesus isn't based on our works, our experience. Because see, we can caught up, and I believe that we should do those things and we are called to do those things. And I believe that when we grow spiritually and we mature, I believe that it increases our awareness. Like, I'm telling you this, if we go back to that golfing tournament, I'm gonna be aware of the free food now. Because I have the experience. But I always had the access. But I believe the reason why Jesus rejoiced is because he knows that there are times we don't feel like we have all the experience. We can come against something and say, well, maybe I can overcome this once I've done all these other things, but I'm not like this person. This person's been a Christian for 20 years. I don't have their type of authority. This person, you know, he has a PhD. I don't have their type of authority. But no, the 70 were lambs, but the 70 had authority. And it wasn't because they listened to the right podcast. It wasn't because they read all these books and had a PhD behind their name. No, they had authority because they were aligned with Jesus. They had authority because they said, I don't really know exactly. I don't have all the experience. I don't have all the know-how. I don't really know exactly what to do, but I know this person named Jesus. And as long as Jesus is with me, then I have all the authority that I need. I don't have to wait until 10 years of being a Christian before I can give up alcohol. You have the authority to give it up now. I don't have to read all the right books before I have the authority to walk in the correct way to love my spouse. No, you have the authority now. Why? Because you have Jesus. Stand to your feet tonight. The good news is that even in times when we don't feel qualified, because we have Jesus, we are qualified. Even in times we feel like we are yet just baby Christians or don't have everything figured out, or maybe we say we've steered too far away, there's no way I can get back. The good news is that the only thing matters is, do we have Jesus? And the 70 walked in alignment with Jesus. They didn't have all the experience. They didn't have all the YouTube sermons on their playlist. But they had Jesus. And because they had Jesus, they had authority. I'm going to close with this thought, and then we're going to pray and we're going to sing. Is that we have access. Everybody say access. We access authority when we're aligned with Jesus. You want to know how you have the authority to walk in the way you're supposed to in your life, in your marriage, in your business? It's not for you to go and try to read the right material and all the things that maybe the world says you need. All you need to be, say, God, am I aligned with you right now? And if you're aligned with Jesus, then you have the authority of God. If you're aligned with Jesus, then there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop you. We're aligned with Jesus. It doesn't matter if the odds are stacked against you. It doesn't matter if we're in an economy that things are falling apart, or we're in a political season where everybody's confused. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't look like we are in authority on the outside, all that matters, hey, are we in alignment on the inside? And if we're in alignment with Jesus, then we have the authority that we need. With every hand lifted, head bowed, let's just begin to pray together. If you're in this place tonight, you haven't given your life to Jesus before, right now, just give your life to Him. Because that's how we give access to authority, is that we got to submit to authority. But if you're in this place and you maybe walk in the access of authority, but you haven't walked in the exercise of authority, Father, we pray right now, God, whatever it is that needs to be aligned, God, whatever it is that needs to be submitted, God, right now we remove the barriers, remove the blockades, remove, God, anything that is making us unaware, Father, of the authority that we have, but we say we submit to you right now. God, we submit to your authority, that you have all the power, that you have authority over my sickness, you have authority over any insecurity, you have authority over any financial problem, you have authority, God, over any issue, you have authority, God, over every struggle, you have authority, God, to move mountains, to split seas, God, to heal the sick, Father. You have the authority, God, to make all things submit to your will, Father. So we walk in that authority tonight. We walk in that authority tonight, God. And we align ourselves with you. We welcome in your presence right now. Feel the Holy Spirit saying strongly, there's something that's coming up to your mind. And you're saying, God, why am I struggling with this? And God is saying, right now is your opportunity to surrender what you're struggling with. So that way now you could have the authority over it. That God wants you to walk in authority, not to walk in a struggle or to walk in lack, but to walk from strength to strength and joy to joy and power to power. And from freedom to freedom, So God, we walk in your authority tonight. We remove anything that's in our way, but God, we walk in your freedom. In the name of Jesus, come on, let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.